Voters who were anxious about money. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio. Let's start by exploring some of the economic tension that was a major force in the election outcome. The Marketplace Economic Anxiety Index is a survey we've been doing this election year, and the data just before the vote showed 2/3 of Americans are anxious about the economy and their own prosperity. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams has more from Washington on how one group of voters channeled this.
Donald Trump did better with white voters than Hillary Clinton did. Regardless of income, education, the gap was particularly wide when it came to white people without a college degree. Princeton economist Cecilia Rouse says that's because this group, especially the men, are often some of the most anxious about the economy.
And they're saying a lot of that is globalization and increasing technology, and we're being left behind, and we need somebody to really listen and do something about it.
That somebody was Donald Trump. He built his entire campaign on the frustrations of white, blue-collar workers.
I remember when Trump started his campaign to run for president, the movie network with Peter Finch came to my mind.
This is William Rogers, an economist at Rutgers.
That I was waiting for him to say to people, I want you to go to your windows, as they did in that movie, and say,
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
In the past, says Williams, those frustrated people shouting from the windows would have been women or African Americans or Latinos. But because of the way the economy has changed, now it's white people yelling they're not going to take it anymore.
People feel that he's taking on the bully. Who's the bully? The bully is the economy, the macroeconomy, immigration, trade.
And those bullies are taking away jobs, according to Trump and his supporters. That's triggered even more economic anxiety for white voters who depended on those opportunities. Carol Graham is a senior fellow at the Brookings Institution.
At this point, you know, blue-collar jobs, manufacturing jobs are harder to get, and there's more competition, and particularly in the Rust Belt, exactly where Trump support was strongest.
That's where Trump's supporters are now expecting him to bring those promised jobs. But with the economy the way it is now, it's going to be tough. In Washington, I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Let's check the live markets here. The FTSE in London is down 1.1%. The DAX in Germany, though, is up 0.2%. In CAC in Paris, the CAC 40 is down 0.9%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down. The Dow future down 65 points, 0.4%. NASDAQ down 1.1%. The 10-year Treasury yield is at 2.14% this morning. And in the U.S. today, we honor Veterans Day. In China, it is Singles Day. Just look at the date, a series of ones. The 11th day of the 11th month is 1111. In China, it was a day to advertise being single, but the e-commerce giant Alibaba hijacked the holiday, and now it's a day for sale prices and frenzied shopping. President-elect Trump believes what he calls free market reforms will help fix health care in America. That could mean giving hospitals, insurers, and drug companies a freer hand to merge, as many are already inclined to do. But this could mean less competition. From our health desk at WHYY in Philadelphia, Marketplace's Dan Gorenstein reports.
Prices in healthcare continue to climb, and one reason is company mergers that eliminate essential competition. Harvard Business School economist Limor Daphne says here's how President-elect Trump could show he's serious about the issue.
A new administration could beef up antitrust enforcement agency budgets, deliver tough talk on proposed mergers, and hold challenging congressional hearings on large deals.
The Obama administration has been aggressive blocking deals, including mergers like the one between Aetna and Humana. But that's potentially the kind of government interference that Trump opposes. Lanhee Chen at the Hoover Institute at Stanford says Trump faces a kind of free market dilemma.
I think as a general rule, the idea will be to give businesses the freedom to do what they need to do while recognizing at the same time that preserving a competitive marketplace will be important.
The unanswered question, says Chen, is where a Trump administration strikes that balance. I'm Dan Gorenstein for Marketplace.
In India, a sudden cash crunch. Without warning this week, the Indian government banned money. That is, currency bills and some popular denominations have to be swapped in an effort to stick it to people and businesses hiding money under the table. Joining us from outside an apparently empty ATM machine in Calcutta is the BBC's Rahul Tandon.
I'm at a cash machine. It's about the 15th one I visited in the last hour. and it has no money in it, so I have no money in my wallet like millions of other people in India. Difficult days.
So, out of nowhere, bolt from the blue, the Indian government takes away some of these bills. We're talking about really big bills, like the equivalent of $100 or $500?
No, much smaller than that. The 500 rupee note and the 1,000 rupee note, the two largest currency notes that you could have got in India, that's what, about $10, $11 for the 500 and double that, obviously, for the 1,000 rupee note. The idea was to clamp down on the black economy. It's got a lot of support, but some people are losing patience now because the new notes, well, they haven't turned up in the cash machines I'm in front of or the banks either.
Okay, so you'll eventually get those notes back, but somehow new and improved?
The idea is that people who have been hoarding cash, not paying tax on it, well, they have two choices. They come to banks, put it in there, and then have to pay tax and fines on it, or that currency is now worthless because you can't spend it anywhere. For those who have legitimate money, they're supposed to be, you know, the new notes in banks like the one I'm stood outside, and you can exchange it. But look, this bank was supposed to be open till 6. It's shut already because they ran out of cash about 3 or 4 hours ago.
The BBC's Rahul Tandon in Calcutta. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
And in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.